I don't know how to say this, Bitterly Goose star?
You're not a child of the 80s. If you were, you would know the film with a similar name. The star is Beetlejuice.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Wire.
The COP15 Biodiversity Summit in Montreal, Canada is set to begin today. The Conference of Parties is set to specifically target issues of biodiversity and how it links to improving our climate in the face of the climate crisis. The conference was initially meant to take place in China a couple of years ago, but was delayed and eventually relocated due to COVID restrictions. To learn more about the conference's big issues it's trying to tackle, I spoke to Stephen Hartley from Victoria University of Wellington about the current state of biodiversity around the world and what this conference should aim to achieve.
So the COP15 is, COP stands for Conference of the Parties. These are large meetings that the UN call. And so this is the 15th meeting of those on the subject of biodiversity. The first meeting on the topic of biodiversity was held in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, so that ended in the Convention on Biodiversity. And so there's been a series of meetings ever since then to try and arrange and organise, I guess, global consensus and global action to halting the loss of biodiversity.
How does this differ from the COP27 summit?
So the COP27 summit, which was held recently in Egypt, that's on the topic of climate change. So they've had 27 of those meetings. It was one of the first kind of topics where the whole global community got organized. Scientists were kind of convened to come up with the best evidence and a kind of consensus of the situation and to provide recommendations for debate amongst politicians.
What are some of the major issues at play in biodiversity right now for the world?
The issues facing biodiversity are pretty much the same that they've been facing for the last 20 or 30 years, but it's just become more and more intensified. But the big issues are loss of habitat, especially loss of tropical forest, because tropical forests are very rich in biodiversity, and loss of coral reefs. And coral reefs tend to be lost through the process of ocean acidification. So with more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, some of that dissolves in the ocean, creating carbonic acid, which then starts to eat away at the calcium shells of the coral. Plus sedimentation of just soil eroding and washing out in rivers into the nearshore ocean, which is where the corals are found. Corals are probably the most biodiverse rich marine habitat. So both of our really diverse habitat types, tropical forests and coral reefs, are under threat. But then there's many other habitat types, particularly those found in lowlands, like wetlands, mangroves in New Zealand. Braided rivers are quite a unique ecosystem. Many of them are also being lost due to land conversion for other uses.
What steps need to be taken to fix these problems?
So there are three probably underlying drivers to biodiversity loss, and I mentioned habitat loss, but it's interrelated with climate change and spread of invasive species. So those three big global issues are all interlinked, and they all kind of intensify each other. So anything that could be done to stop or halt habitat loss or even reverse it through habitat restoration, that's really helpful because, just planting trees is an immediate step for taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. It's not going to do everything by itself, but it's certainly a step. But it also creates a habitat for biodiversity, ameliorates local climates by providing more shade. But we need to address habitat loss, spread of invasive species, and climate change as a kind of a intertwined set of challenges. And anything we can do to slow down one will probably help the other two.
What's currently getting in the way of seeing these problems solved or managed better?
These are all what we'd probably call wicked problems, where there's just no easy single solution because there's so many intertwined interests and issues at stake. So it's a social and an economic challenge. People's livelihoods depend on the way they farm, the way they get to and from work, just how they live their lives. So it's going to require change, and change is always difficult, but change at a huge scale, international energy and transport systems, incentives, possibly financial institutions have to change their models, what governments are aiming for to achieve. We no longer just focus on GDP as a sort of measure of well-being. There's many other well-being measures of social well-being, cultural and ecological well-being, all important, environmental well-being.
How can the international community come together through COP15 to address these issues?
COP15 is, I guess, the ultimate international gathering of top leaders and politicians, but then it has to filter through down to action. And I guess the common criticism is that some nice targets are often agreed upon, but then the follow-through isn't there. It's hard to achieve these targets, and they have to be translated into a national context and then ultimately at a local context. So sort of COP15 type approach is a what you call a top-down approach, but we need to marry that with bottom-up approaches where communities are empowered to come up with their own solutions. And again, they're going to be a mix of social and environmental schemes that can actually be implemented, that people can see the benefit of them. So yeah, it's working across great scales from the global down to the local community.
Sweet.
Great to, and really important to become aware of the global issues. It can get depressing, but then look for the local solutions. And you don't have to solve the world's issues with your own actions. You just have to try and make things a bit better. And if everyone's doing that, then we will make progress.
That was Stephen Hartley from Victoria University of Wellington chatting about the COP15 Biodiversity Summit.